This reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. When the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she went over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "who is it you are looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, as I have not returned yet to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and that he has said these things to her. This is the Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So we have finally arrived at Easter, or maybe it's already. Maybe at Christmas or the start of the year, you looked at the calendar to see when Easter would be in 2021. Well, sort of in the middle of the range this year, the beginning of April, not too late, not too early, it would seem. And from the date of Easter, we might have planned other matters. When we go on holidays, when we do our shopping, when we as the church have the AGM and our church services. The time of Lent began 6.5 weeks ago. Lent is a time to prepare for Holy Week, when we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. We might even have decided to give up something for those 6.5 weeks. After all, that's not too long a time. We can endure such a short time going without chocolate or wine or Facebook or whatever it was. Some of us might even have attended special Lenten studies. And as Easter drew nearer, we as a church took special care to get the services right. Our Virgil put the signs for Easter services on the notice boards a few weeks ago. Some dedicated people made palm crosses for Palm Sunday. Others decorated the church with greenery for that day. Then we organized the cross for Good Friday here. And then yesterday, some people brought in white flowers and decorated the cross and here in front of the altar, ready for Easter. And with all that preparation, we knew what would happen. We knew that after the preparation of Lent would come Good Friday and then Easter. And we know that after the suffering and death of Jesus comes the resurrection. Some people may even draw more analogies. They might say, we know that there's always a new sunrise, a new day, that spring follows winter and flowers bud after frost and snow. But of course, the disciples did not know that, for after death normally follows, well, nothing more. Death means at least the end of life as we know it. Maybe some very important people would get a memorial erected or a biography written about them, but most people just recede into oblivion. Of course, there has long been a knowledge that death is not necessarily the end of all things, that there is some continuation of life in some form or other. In the ancient world, there were notions of humans going to the shadowy underworld, or maybe their souls going into heaven, or even about the resurrection of the body at a great final event in history. But all those things didn't seem to have anything to do with Jesus' death now and what the disciples were thinking about it. For it was clear that the end of history had not happened. Instead, Jesus had died, and died a violent and all too physical death. With him, the hopes of the disciples had died too. Even though Jesus had said something about dying, this was not how the disciples had expected events to turn out. So in their grief, the followers tried to make sense of it all somehow. They knew Jesus had died, so what now? Maybe had it all been too hopeful of a dream that had finally burst. And then into this grief broke the shock discovery of the empty tomb and the encounters with the risen Jesus. That initial incomprehension, the lingering doubts, and the breathless excitement of the stories at the end of all of the four Gospels, they convey perfectly what seems to have happened and the fact that nobody was expecting it. So in our reading from the Gospel of John, we read how Mary Magdalene saw the stone removed. She didn't walk to tell somebody. She ran to tell Peter and the other disciples. And they, in turn, ran to the tomb. The shock and excitement are quite noticeable in this description. And Mary Magdalene, well, she is said to have seen angels in the tomb, and yet she did not understand. At that point, she was still sorry that somebody had taken the body away. She wanted to grieve for the body, wanted to remember the old days with nostalgia and some melancholy. She wanted the bittersweet honoring of the one they've loved and lost. She was expecting the body, not the risen Jesus. So when she didn't meet Jesus, she thought he would be the gardener. After all, that's the most likely person to meet in the morning in the garden at this time of the morning. Only as he mentioned her name did the realization come to her that this was Jesus, Jesus alive. The resurrection of Jesus in time breaks all the categories of the world. It breaks all expectations and common experiences. At that time, many Jews believed in a resurrection at the end of time. But this resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus, happened in the middle of history, with all the mess and suffering of the world still going on around it. It was out of sequence, so to say. Paul would later describe Jesus as the firstborn from the dead, and that's a phrase that's also repeated in the book of Revelation. So yes, later on, Christians had the words to describe what had happened that first Easter morning. But if we believe the descriptions of the Bible in those first days, the followers of Jesus had trouble understanding what had happened. After some time, the disciples realized that Jesus had risen fully and bodily, though in a body that was quite different to before. After the first shock and joy, they began to make sense of their experience. From a frightened and shattered little group, that experience drove the disciples into all the world to proclaim the good news. That is also what we heard in our Acts reading today, where they told the good news to people from every nation. Through the hope given by the resurrections, the disciples proclaimed the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, as the reading says. So in their mission, they also came to realize that this good news is not just for the people of Israel, but for people from all the world. With the realization of the resurrection, the disciples also began to look at the crucifixion in a new light. After all, at the time of the crucifixion, Jesus' followers did not watch the events in contentment, for example, rejoicing in the knowledge that Jesus had died for their sins, that they would be freed from the slavery of sin by the events unfolding before them at that moment. Nor did the disciples lament that their sins had led Jesus to the cross. No, at the time of the crucifixion, most of them fled in fear and bewilderment. Some later on were sorry about their own betrayal and the fact that they had deserted their teacher at this hour. Some watched in shock as they saw their teacher dying. And some were simply overwhelmed by sorrow. It was through the resurrection that they understood that there had been more to the crucifixion than the death of their beloved teacher, who they had thought would be the Messiah. Of course, the disciples had been prepared for this by Jesus himself, who pointed towards just these events through his parables, his teachings, and his actions. Through the resurrection, it became clear that the death of Jesus was something that he purposefully walked towards, and that at the cross, Jesus would be glorified, as he said, at the Last Supper. For through it, the love of God towards humans was revealed and became reality. It became clear that in a paradox way, this death was life-bringing. This death had cosmic effect, and because of the resurrection, the disciples realized that indeed, through the cross, the powers of sin and death had been broken. Just a few verses on in the Gospel of John, we read that even though the body of the risen Jesus is different now, it is still marked by the scars of the crucifixion, so the wounds remain. The resurrection does not somehow obliterate the cross. No, the suffering marks God forever. That life-giving love is at the center of who God is and has become a physical reality at the cross at a particular point in time. Even though we remember the cross of Jesus first and then later the resurrection, as we should do, we need to realize that a full understanding of the cross comes from the knowledge of the resurrection. For then we can understand that what had happened at the cross was God's act of love for the forgiveness of the world's sins. Jesus has been vindicated through the resurrection and given us the possibility of a life of hope, because the victory has already been won, and that is a cause for joy.